Well, when minicamp begins, the national media come to town, and our good buddy Sal Palantonio from ESPN joins me here in the studio. It amazes me, Sal. I come to work here every day, and I see the change. Now, Sal was a beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer in 1994, 1995, ESPN since 1995, and you've seen coaching changes, you've seen regime changes. I'd like you to talk to me what you see here with the Philadelphia Eagles organization in the last 8 months, let's say.
I've never seen any change quite like this, top to bottom, in every respect of the organization. It's a sea change. It's a cultural change. It's a change in mood and attitude and approach at every level. I've never seen a coach come in and say, you're going to eat differently. You're going to train differently. We're going to bring in a SEAL team trainer, former SEAL team trainer, and we're going to do cardio, and we're going to train differently. We're going to line up differently. You're going to have different players in your lineup. We're going to have different schemes on offense and defense. We're going to bring new players in. I've never seen anything like it. It has been so dramatic. Honestly, the only time that I can think of it any different is when Eric Mangini was fired with the Jets and Rex Ryan was brought in. I famously said it went from Dorney Park, went from Alcatraz to Dorney Park. but this, you know, it's unprecedented, really, because Eric Mangini was only around for a couple of years. Andy Reid was here for 14 years. Mm-hmm. So this is the most dramatic change I've ever seen with a coach. And here's a funny story for you. This is really interesting. I went to do a local TV hit with our buddy John Clark at Channel 10 on Sports Final on Sunday. I went there late at night, and one of the night watchmen grabbed me before I went in and said, hey, what do you think of Chip Kelly? And I went through all the changes, said, here we go. We're top to bottom, nutrition, practice. He goes, they need it. We love it.
Needed the change.
Needed the change.
Yeah.
We love it.
Do you
Everywhere
notice
I get, I was just in Best Buy up on Front Street, hanging out for a few seconds before Live Shots. I had to pick up something for my daughter. Hey, Sal, what's going on out there at NovaCare?
Yeah.
What do you think of Chip Kelly? Well, a lot of change. We need the change.
Yeah. I think everybody in here would agree with that, too. It had just become too comfortable. And, you know, look, I mean, training camp in the NFL, I know it's basically a country club compared to what it was back in the day, as they say. But it just seemed like the players were not responding to the methods in every respect with Coach Reed and the coaching staff then.
Yeah. You know, and the flip side of that is it's a great unknown. When
Absolutely.
You bring in a coach who's got no experience at the NFL level, either as a coach or a player, not a single down. The last guy to do that, Mike Riley, San Diego Chargers, 1999. He was gone in 3 years, only won 14 games, mm-hmm. a winning percentage of .292. 10 years before that, who was the guy who did it with no coaching or playing experience in the NFL? Jimmy Johnson. Won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So what's the difference, David, between Mike Riley and Jim Johnson?
Who were the quarterbacks?
Two words.
Who were the
Troy Aikman.
Right.
Right?
Agreed. Well, listen, it all comes back to, listen, when we get on the field here, and there's a great mystery here, Sal, because there's no real media coverage of these practices. I know the fans are just champing to get.
I'm trying to crack the code here.
Yeah, we want to get on. We want to see what they do on the field. But when you actually get a chance to watch this team, what do you expect to jump out at you in a practice environment?
Speed, pace, everything.
No huddles?
I think that here are the key numbers, and I had ESPN stats and information, look them up, and I haven't said them on the air yet, so I'll say them here on your show.
Okay, thank you.
Okay? Last year in the National Football League, 2012, the average offensive plays run, number 64 per team in the National Football League. The Eagles ran 67. Which ranks sixth in the NFL. The highest in the league last year, New England Patriots ran 74 plays on average. Last year, University of Oregon, 83 plays.
Right.
All right, now you do the subtraction of the math. 67 to 83,
yeah,
right?
16, right.
Yeah, 16 plays, right? That's 2 more drives.
Yeah.
But it also means you got to be ready to play.
And it means you've got to get first downs. You've got to sustain drives. And defensively, obviously, you've got to get off the field. Sal, the quarterback question is one that every team asks. And I think Eagles fans for a long time here with Donovan McNabb at the quarterback position, it became a very stable position. We've seen here in the last couple of years, not so stable. Team's record's gone down. Who becomes the quarterback here? How do these Michael Vick versus Nick Foles versus Dennis Dixon, how do they handle the mental changes? Because there's got to be an enormous mental capacity challenge going on right now.
All right, I gave you one number to remember, 83 plays per game at Oregon. I'm going to give you another number to remember, 125. That's the average number of rushes that quarterbacks had per season under Chip Kelly in Oregon. That means your quarterback is carrying the football. So whoever is coming in here, for this offense to be successful, if he's going to run it the way he ran it in Oregon, the quarterback will run the football. Has to do it.
Then that take Nick. That would seem to take Nick Foles out of the equation.
I think it would take Nick Foles out of the equation. I thought what Howie Roseman said yesterday in his press briefing on the draft was very interesting. In fact, we ran a clip of it, the interview that you did with him on SportsCenter this morning, where Roseman specifically said this is a meat and potatoes draft. Mm-hmm. This is a in the trenches, offensive and defensive line in the draft. It's not too sexy at the skill positions, which is really interesting because right now in the NFL, what are you emphasizing? You're emphasizing offense.
Sure.
Quarterback, weak, thin. Wide receiver, weak, thin. Running back, weak, thin. Very strong offense and defense. At number four, what do the Eagles do? Because if Andy Reid at number one takes Luke Joeckel, which is anticipated if he doesn't drop out of there, and Jaguars take Deion Jordan, then at number four, we don't know what the Raiders are going to do. We can guess all day.
Mm-hmm.
At number four, if the Eagles have Sharif Floyd, Eric Fisher, or Geno Smith, who do they take? And based on what Roseman said, it looks like they're moving away from Geno Smith. Is there going to be a team, David, that's going to want to jump up to four and get Geno Smith so that the Eagles can drop
or
back?
Get Eric Fisher.
Or just get
Sharif Floyd.
Or just take one of those two players.
Yeah.
But now, what happens if Jacksonville at two takes Eric Fisher and Deion Jordan is sitting there with Geno Smith at number four? Does Chip Kelly do what's comfortable, take Deion Jordan, a player that they could use, or do they take the gamble on Geno Smith?
I will tell you, in 1999, I knew it was going to be Donovan McNabb at the number two overall selection about a week before the draft.
Did
maybe
you scoop
longer.
The pick? Did you scoop
we
it?
We knew. Well, we were told internally to prepare, you know, get all your highlights, get all your videos ready. It's going to be Donovan McNabb. I don't have any sense.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a group of five or six players.
Because the board is wide open, mm-hmm. and there's no sexy marquee player. We knew last year it was going to go Luck and Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
We knew in that year it was going to be Couch and Donovan, right? So we don't know what's going to happen. Presumably, the Eagles will be in a spot at four where they'll get a blue-chip player. And I think it's really important that if they do wind up trading down, don't go too far. Get a player that's going to be a foundational player. It's very rare that you draft in the top five. A top five pick, David, as you know, like Donovan McNabb, has to be a franchise foundational player. What do I mean by that? That means a guy that's going to start at that position and is going to play well for 5 to 7 to 10 years, is going to come into the building and set the tone, not only from a personality and football standpoint, but also as a leader in and off, in the locker room or out of the locker room.
ESPN will be here on draft weekend, or at least the first night of the draft. So why did ESPN decide to send you here? Is this that compelling a story? Are the Eagles back up?
And, it's me. It's yeah. the Eagles. I get to hang out with you.
Oh, that's my man. Oh, come on. Look, we just blew it. No, but seriously, I mean, it seems like this – the Chip Kelly hire has really kind of sparked a whole lot of interest in this football team.
Oh, there's no question about that. And I think that was part and parcel of what the Eagles were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's to re-goose, to use a word, rejuice things, jazz things up a little bit. And, you know, the truth is, it's a 4-12 team.
Right.
And, you know, we had that tragedy in Boston yesterday.
Right.
But they still decided to send me here today with a satellite truck doing live shots and take Chip Kelly live. They canceled other venues today, but they decided to stick with this. So there is a major interest in Chip Kelly. And you know what? There is still a major interest in Michael Vick. Michael Vick moves the meter on ESPN. Mm-hmm. People still want to know what's going on with him. He has star power. There's still star power on this football team, despite where you finished last season.
And you believe number seven will be the guy in September?
You know what? I think it's wide open. I think he's got to compete for the starting job. Especially, you know, I'm interested to talk to him on Wednesday when we get to talk to him. And one of the questions I want to ask him is, if they take Geno Smith with the number four pick, what is your reaction going
right.
to be?
Well, yeah, he's on a one-year contract. His reaction better be, I got to play well this year.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Sal, give me a name, number four pick for the Philadelphia Eagles.
If Eric Fisher's there, they take him. If Eric Fisher's gone and Deion Jordan's there, they take Jordan. If both Jordan and Fisher are gone and Geno Smith is there at number four, I think the phone will be ringing off the hook.
You're a Geno Smith fan?
I am a Geno Smith fan. I am. I think, as I mentioned before, the difference between Mike Riley and Jimmy Johnson, two coaches who came straight out of college with no experience, was Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
You've got to have that foundational quarterback. And Michael Vick is 33. He missed five games last year. He had a lot of turnovers. Is he the future at the quarterback position is a major question mark. And Michael Vick has to prove that the answer to that question is yes for this year and going forward. And right now he hasn't answered that question.
Sal Palantonio, we thank you as always for coming into PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, good.
We'll see you draft weekend. Sal Pal from ESPN in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.